Well, friends, the Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, as we continue this series today, fill us with your Spirit in the name of Jesus, that we can get it, that it gets into us, that it grows in us the heart and character of our King, and releases us to use whatever you've given us to bless others. Amen. Well, friends, we're in a series, Your Part in God's Plan, and today's theme is Gifted to Fit, or Finding Your Fit in God's Plan. God's big plan, his majorly big plan, is to bring all things together in Christ Jesus. Because under his authority and in him, he will make everything right again. He will restore everything back to God's original intention, including us. Is that good news? Yeah. Every one of us is one day going to end up in Christ, the perfect. Well, that'd be a good thing. God's restoration plan, it happens in this world through his people, through the spiritual gifts he's given us. And a spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit in order to bless others. Bless others. So if you trust and follow Jesus, God has given you at least one spiritual gift that you might enact his restoration into the lives of someone else. Last Sunday, Pastor Noel gave brief descriptions of around 20 spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the New Testament. They're examples, they're not exhaustive. Did any of those resonate with any of you? You've forgotten, no? Yes, no, maybe? You know, I think I would add to that list, that wasn't exhaustive, but I would add to that list creative gifts. Things like fine arts, design, music, singing, inventing, writing, skills in building, skills in restoring and repairing things. I think of a guy called Professor Graham Clark. You know who he is? He's the guy that invented the bionic ear. Really smart guy. And when he began this in 1966, a number of people, even his colleagues, just said, "This is ridiculous. He's a clown." In 1978, by then he had developed the first cochlear implant, and he has been steadily improving that device ever since so that deaf people can hear again. I'd say that's a pretty good blessing, wouldn't you? But he hasn't stopped. Over the last 10 years, he's been working on a bionic eye and a bionic spinal cord. Do you know that he is a committed Christian? And he says in one newspaper report, "I could not have kept going without the sense this God of love had given me the opportunity to help deaf people." So he's going, there's a need. God's given me this gift. I'm going to use it to bless them. It's a spiritual gift. Let me ask you, did any of you do the spiritual gifts test that Pastor Noel suggested last week? Hands up if you did it. All right, a good bunch of you. The two that emerged for me were, and the highest, were teaching and pastor. Go figure. Well, tell you the truth, it still surprises me in a whole bunch of ways. If you asked me when I was 17 or 18, or if you told me at that stage, one day you're going to be a pastor, I would have said, you're on drugs. You're delusional. But anyway, God's got the last laugh. A word of caution, though. One survey, one test doesn't define you or put you into a box. I've done these tests over the last 25 odd years, and they often come out a little bit differently. Here's the thing. When you answer the questions, you tend to have a little bit of bias depending on how you interpret the question, what your most recent experiences have been, and what sort of mood you're in at the time. You know, if you're in a cranky mood, you answer things differently, yes? However, what they can do, these tests, is they eliminate a whole bunch of things. They help narrow the field so you can focus and follow up on a few other ones. All right, so it steers you towards discovering your spiritual gift. If you don't know yet what your spiritual gifts are, don't give up. Say to God, "God, please show me what my spiritual gifts are and how you want me to use them." Keep working on it. Keep talking to Christian people who know you well. Let me ask you another question. For those of you who did it, did you discuss it with another Christian person? Some of you are nodding. Now, this is really, really important because it keeps us grounded. You know, it stops us being delusional over gifts we don't have. And it affirms and encourages us to recognize those ones we do have. This is really, really important, your spiritual gifts, because you matter to God and your gifts matter to His heart for His world. Paul says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Now, these bodies are all joined together, yes? Our physical bodies are all joined together. In the same way, God brings people together with spiritual gifts into a local church, a manifestation of the body of Christ. Why? Because Christ in them brings His presence and His ministry out into the local community. Think of a jigsaw puzzle. Every single piece has some part in that puzzle, yes? Every single piece has a fit. And when all the pieces are put together, you get a clear picture. Friends, when all the parts here know what they're on about and are doing what God made them to do, the world gets a clear picture of Jesus. The world experiences the restoring work of Jesus in a whole bunch of different ways, depending on our gifts, meaning a whole bunch of different needs. And your fit in God's restoration plan is determined by your spiritual gifts. Paul tells us that each and every part of the body has a unique part to play. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. These hands are amazing things. What you can do with your hands, I think it's just mind-blowing. But here's the thing. As clever as these are, they don't hear, they don't see, they don't smell. They do different things. You can't walk on your ear very successfully very far, yes? Likewise, there's no point in engaging in an ongoing ministry that God hasn't gifted us to do. You know, it just won't fit right and it won't bear fruit. For those of you who've seen me try to draw or teach little kids, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I absolutely suck at it. You know, hopeless. Don't even bother asking me. I just... Perhaps you know what your spiritual gifts are, or you might have a hunch about what they could be. And maybe you're wondering, well, what's the next step? What do I do to actually get into God's fit for me? Here's six things really quickly, so strap in. The first is this, what is God calling you to do? What would you love to do for God, given half a chance? In what ways could you passionately serve others in the name of Jesus? You know, perhaps looking around you see a ministry or a need either in the church or the wider community, and when you think and pray about it, your heart just starts beating really fast. You get excited and maybe you sense the Spirit of God urging you to do something about it. Now you look out and you say, hey, there's a ministry I'd love to be part of. Hey, there's a kind of person I just love to help. Hey, there's a problem I love wrestling with. Hey, there's a need that I think God has equipped me and gifted me to meet. What do we do then? Well, if it's serving in a ministry that's already happening in this church, then find a leader of that ministry. Ask them a bunch of questions. You know, and if they what they're talking about or describing excites you, say to them, hey, what do I need to do to get involved? Even just for a trial period to see if it works for me. Maybe some of you have got on your heart to start a new ministry. For that to happen at Good Shepherd, The purpose of that ministry would need to be consistent with our mission and values as a church, and there would need to be a bunch of people who could lead and facilitate that ministry. Friends, we can't do absolutely everything as a church, but we can do some things. If what we can't do here is your passion, here's an alternative. Find another church that's doing that thing and join in what they're doing, or a community group, and exercise your spiritual gift and passion there. You don't. The body of Christ is bigger than this local church. Okay, number two, is it God's timing for this? There are seasons in life, yes, and there are seasons for ministry. And if you're in a season where you're raising very young children or helping a teenager get through a pretty difficult time or caring for aging parents or all the above, then I suggest to you that is your primary ministry focus in this season. It's emotionally demanding, and so you'll have limited time and energy left for major ministry. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm saying you will be limited. It's the same if you're in a season of recovering from an illness, or you're grieving the loss of someone dear to you, or you've just come through a messy transition in life, or if you're simply recovering from burnout. Yeah, you need a bit of space to heal up, to be renewed and recharged for the next season. Let me also say that there are different seasons in which we may exercise different gifts. In my first parish in Liverpool, Sydney, after 1 year, our organist quit, resigned, says, I'm not doing this anymore. There was no one else in the congregation, so I ended up being the main musician for some time, which was fine. In this season here at Good Shepherd, though, we've got a whole bunch of talented musicians and singers. I'm not needed in that ministry. But the other thing is, in this season, I have lots of nights out. When I'm running courses, where I'm equipping people, where I'm leading a small group, where I'm doing some teaching. And so there's no real way I can do Thursday night rehearsals without it damaging me. It's not the season for me at this time. Friends, in God's right time, God will open doors for whatever he wants to happen. When it's something new, here's what normally takes place in a congregation. Someone sees a need, they're excited about it, and they articulate a vision. And if that thing's meant to happen there, some people will say, yeah, tell me more. This resonates with my heart. And God will bring people together who will support it, resource it, and get involved with it. And that's how new things begin. God puts the people in a place for what he wants to happen at that particular time. If God hasn't brought the people together with the spiritual gifts and passion for that particular ministry, then he simply does not want it to happen at that time. Now, sometimes people get upset and cranky about this because their passion is to do da-da-da-da-da, but it's not happening. They could have a certain burning passion to get a new ministry up and running. They talk about it. It's flagged in the local church, but no one responds. People just aren't interested. So what happens next? Well, best case outcome is the person says, oh, okay, it's not God's timing. Maybe I just need to wait and pray and see what God does with this. Worst case scenario, people get nasty about it. You know, they complain about the church leadership. They accuse the church of being unspiritual or ungodly or not interested in things of God, and they leave in a huff, and then they go to the next church and do the same thing often. You know? Hey, where does it say in the Bible that this church must do this particular ministry this year? It's a big, big mistake to manipulate people to fulfill our own personal dreams or agendas. It's a big, big mistake to demand other people do things they are not gifted or passionate about doing. It's certainly not the way of Jesus, is it? Sophie Gerry shared a good quote with me from Robert Clinton, who writes on leadership. It's a cracker. It is one thing to know what the will of God is. It is another thing altogether to know the timing. God is not in as big of a hurry as you or I are. He is more interested in shaping you and me first. So if something's not happening the way you think it ought to, maybe go, well, what's God trying to do in me? What's God trying to teach me? Relax, chill out, take a chill pill, kick back. The world's not going to stop because you don't get your way. Number three, have a go. Most high schools these days, they do work experience. Students can go to a place, they can watch what happens, they can ask questions and see whether that's something they might consider doing after high school. In the same way, I suggest having a go or trying a ministry as an experiment. Try serving in some way, just for a limited time to see whether it fits you. This is often much, much more effective than a gift discovery exercise, and here's the reasons why. You can never tell whether you have an ability to do something unless you actually have a crack at it. You can't sort of decide in your office, or in your lounge chair in front of the TV, no, I'm not going to have a go at that. I couldn't be bothered. No, you actually need to have a crack at it. Secondly, how will you know whether that thing satisfies you and brings you joy unless you actually have a crack at it? And the third thing is, you won't see if it blesses other people unless you have a crack at it. Maybe you're sitting there going, well, that's all right, Rolly. I've tried three things and I was hopeless at all three of them. What should I do now? Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't beat yourself up. Try something else. For God's sake, try something. Nothing ever comes from nothing. God wants you to get you into his restoration plan. You're just going to find out what that's going to be. Don't quit. Have a go. Try something, and if it helps others and you come alive doing it, chances are that's your spiritual gift. Number four, seek confirmation from the body of Christ. You know, some people want to be lead singers in the band. They want to be up in front of people, but they can't hold pitch. Some people want to teach, but they waffle on and on and on and put people to sleep. Terribly sorry about that. Rick Warren suggests a better way forward. Ask other people for their candid opinion. Tell them you're searching for the truth, not fishing for a compliment. Spiritual gifts and natural abilities are always confirmed by others. If you think you are gifted to be a teacher or a singer and no one else agrees, guess what? If you want to know if you have the gift of leadership, just look over your shoulder. If no one's following, you're not a leader. I think that's pretty good. So what happens if someone doesn't have a gift and they want to keep doing it? I think it's up to us to come alongside them and to speak the truth in love and say, why do you do that thing you do, and what happens in you as you do it? I'm not sure whether that's your gift. How about a journey with you and help you find another area of serving which may be more suited to your giftings? That's how we honour each other. Not pretending, but speaking the truth in love so people can be built up and find their arena of service. Number five, develop your gifts. Just because God has given you a gift, it doesn't mean you can be lazy. You might be really gifted as a violinist, right? You might be mega gifted, but are you going to make the Australian Orchestra in 6 months? No. To get to there, you need to get tuition. You need to go to music lessons. You need to practice for thousands and thousands of hours. You need to give hundreds of performances. You probably need to go to the conservatorium and do a tertiary degree in musicianship just to be considered for an audition. Friends, I don't think God wants to waste his gifts by us being lazy with them. I think we actually honour God and bless more people by developing those things, receiving teaching or mentoring. Think about an apprenticeship. Now, the mentor with a class, he'll say, okay, this is what we're about to do. I'm going to explain the steps to you. Then he does it and they watch. And he says, okay, you guys have a go. They have a go, and he might just give them some pointers and say, okay, you can do this and this and this. Then the person practices a few more times and they get a little bit better at it, and their work gets evaluated, and they receive a bit more of a master's class on how to improve that thing even more. And eventually, they get to be really good at doing that thing time after time after time. That's how we develop skills and wisdom to do things. And our friends, I think we can all get better in exercising and developing our spiritual gifts. I think we actually have a responsibility. However, let me say that it's not just our skills that need developing. We also need to grow the heart and the character of Jesus. Otherwise, we can be exercising that talent, but it's just a performance. It's just a performance to impress people, to get the attention or applause from people, to bolster our insecure egos. And when we get to that point, it's no longer about Jesus. It's no longer about other people. It's all about me. Well, what fruit's going to come from that, friends? I don't think God uses that very well. God doesn't give us spiritual gifts to exalt ourselves, prove ourselves, or compare ourselves with others. He gives us those gifts to bless others. Remember this, a talent is an ability. A spiritual gift is an ability to bring Jesus' restoration into other people's lives. Big difference. Number six, be prepared to serve in other ways. Marva Dorn says, we must fight the superficial cop-out from responsibilities expressed in the words, I can't do that. It's not my gift. The fact that we all belong to each other in Christian community will prevent us from avoiding the drudgery we might want to escape. Furthermore, God might surprise us with the changes that he brings in the ways that we can serve the community. The little things, the little people, the demeaning tasks, the humble, ordinary tasks that aren't spectacular. Are you willing to roll your sleeves up and do those sorts of things? Because guess what? Jesus washes feet. Jesus is prepared to get himself really dirty, beaten up, flogged, nailed in a public place, in excruciating pain, and die for you, for me, to serve our need for forgiveness. Jesus serves in humble, ordinary ways, and his followers need to do the same. Remember what he says. Anyone who gives a cup of water to a child or clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, comes alongside the broken and hurting. I tell you, when you've done this to the least, you've done it to me. Okay, let's wrap up. My application is this. What will be your next step? What will be your next step? Perhaps doing the spiritual gifts test or some others like Shape or Network. I think those devices are also very valuable. Maybe talking with a Christian friend who knows you well, saying, oh, look, I'm exploring what my gifts might be. What do you reckon they are? If you've been in a small group for a while, ask the rest of the group. They've been watching you for a while and observing your character. Hopefully you've done enough of life together for them to know what your gifts are. Perhaps you sense a calling from God to start something. And maybe you need to think and pray and talk with people about that. Perhaps it's a season where you actually wait on God and ask what the next thing's supposed to be. Perhaps having a go at something to see how it fits is where you're at the moment. Okay, I've been thinking about this for a while. It's time for me to actually get involved in something. Or maybe developing your spiritual gifts to more effectively serve and bless others. I don't know what it's going to be for you because we're all at different places on this journey, but here's what I do know. As you exercise your gifts to bless others, you'll discover your fit in the body of Christ. You will find yourself satisfied and full of joy that God can use you to make a positive difference in other people's lives. And you will be playing your particular part in God's restoration plan. And my prayer this morning is this: may God grant that to us all. And the people of God said, Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we've looked at a whole bunch of things today, and Lord, I pray that you would fan into flame the thing that you want each of us to get today. It might be different things because we're at all different places, but I pray, Lord, that we would get into our gifts, we would exercise them to bring the fame of Jesus into our community, and that his blessings would come to all those he loves. Amen.